Guys, the last few sermons was really close to my heart. As I shared, I kind of repeated myself last week. It wasn't my intention to kind of go through the whole sermon again, but it happened, and I'll just elaborate a little bit more on that. But we are speaking about, you know, wanting to see God's power and also our part in all of that, and which is to become more like Jesus, to grow in our holiness, so that the Lord can deem us worthy to move amongst us, so that He can get all the glory. You know, so we don't live lives for ourselves, and we don't try and do things our own way, but we try and imitate the one we worship, like most religions work, and we try and imitate Christ, knowing this is not a religion, but a relationship. And the only way we can become like Him is in relationship with Him, spending time with Him. So we spoke about our purpose, our common purpose, becoming like Jesus, growing in holiness, in other words. And tonight is something that I'm really passionate about, that I want to talk to you guys about, and we're going to get stuck into it. But it's probably, you know, I feel up until this point, one of the most important messages that the Lord would have me share with people. The truths and revelations and things that I'm going to share with you tonight are things the Lord showed me shortly after coming to know Him, even in the first few days, that has really shaped the course of my life for the last 8 years. And I pray that you'll find something in it as well that might help you from where you are now to getting closer to where the Lord wants you to be as well. So I pray that this will really bless you tonight, and it's called Unlocking Your Destiny. Sounds super spiritual and new agey and all of that, but that's as far as that goes. Okay. There's a guy called Thomas Carlyle. Don't know who it is, okay, but he said something quite profound. He said, the man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. In other words, going nowhere. He said, it's a waif, a nothing, a no man. Okay, now, who of you want to be no man's? No one, okay? We all want to be someone. We all want to be on our way somewhere. As they say, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it all the time. Now, maybe tonight I want to give you a few steps to finding out what you're aiming at tonight. Romans 8, verse 29 to 30 says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what we spoke about the last 2 weeks, becoming like Christ. This is our common purpose. Everyone has the same purpose, whether they know Christ yet or not. Coming to know Christ is something that happens early on in that journey. But we've all been called to be conformed to the image of Christ. It goes on to say that He might be, excuse me, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Okay, now we're stepping into something that's by definition a little bit different to our purpose. I'm talking about, some people refer to it as your calling. Okay, your rupen. That's a little bit different from our common purpose, okay? Each one has a unique calling. We all have a common purpose to become more like Christ, but we have a unique calling. Your calling is going to involve people, always, but that's the only reason we're still here and why we're not in heaven right now, because we already know Christ, but He left us here so that we can build His kingdom, so that we can share the love of God with others around us, so we can learn to love our neighbor even as we love God. Okay, so your calling is going to be unique because, guess why? No two of us will ever encounter the same group of people, the same people at the same point in their lives during our lifetime. Everyone's got a unique people set that they will encounter in their lives. Even if you encounter exactly the same people as the guy sitting next to you now during your life, you will encounter them at different times. It will mean different things for them. So our callings are unique because we are meant to influence others from where they are to where God wants them to be. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, just before verse 9, we're talking about God here, but it says, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. So you were saved by Christ, by His grace, what He did for us at the cross, free gift, but then you were also called with a holy calling. He has called you. Someone calls you when they want to ask you to do something for them. And you have a holy calling. Holy because it's from God. Holy because it's something that you can't manage in your own strength. You need God's power at work in your life to make it happen. Not something you can do in your own strength. Not according to our works, just emphasizing that fact there, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God is not confused. He made each and every one of us for a specific reason. There is no one alive today that doesn't have a God-given calling on their life. Unfortunately, the enemy also has a calling and a plan for you to keep you away from God's purposes. And the enemy steps in right there just after you're born and starts trying to lure you in the wrong direction. And by God's grace, each of us sitting here can say, hallelujah, the Lord revealed Himself to us. He saved us. Some of us don't know quite what that holy calling is yet. That is what I'm talking about tonight. Because you might be sitting here and you know the love of Jesus, but you still feel unsatisfied in life. You still feel a little bit empty, a little bit less than, a little bit unfulfilled. Not quite knowing what you're doing here, that great existential question, what on earth am I here for? You better believe God made you for a reason. He doesn't make anything by accident. You are not the result of chance random processes. I'm not going to go into the whole evolutionary thing, but it's rubbish, okay, to sum it up. You have been created for a purpose. If you die, someone's going to miss you. Top of the list, God is going to miss what you were called to do for Him. He created you for a reason. You have a unique skill set. Maybe one that's slightly underdeveloped, but God wants to do something about that. He's got people for you to reach. Isn't that exciting news? I don't know. Some of you might be sitting here. You're not quite sure where you're on your way to. You spend 60% of your life behind the desk at the office, and you don't quite know what it's doing to build the kingdom of God. Isn't it exciting to know God has a plan and a purpose for you for every facet of your life, including your job? And I don't want people to go and type out their resignation letters tomorrow. Okay? God needs believers in every company throughout the world. For so long, they told the Christians to get out of Hollywood, and look what Hollywood became. Now the Christians are trying their level best to get back into Hollywood. Any of you here with the acting anointing, please. I'll help pay your flight, okay? We need to see more Christian movies because there's people out there and they spend more time in the movies and they'll go to any movie, but they won't set their foot in a church. They're not going to hear the gospel yet. But maybe they'll hear it through a movie. Some seed will be sown. Praise God. We need Christians everywhere. Okay, so no one's quitting their jobs tomorrow. Good. Unless the Lord explicitly tells you, okay? But come talk to me as well so that I can just give you confirmation. All right. Now, Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, underline should there. Very important word there. We should walk in them. It is not guaranteed after you're saved or even once you know what your calling is that you are going to walk that path. And we spoke about the same goes for your purpose of becoming like Christ and holiness. It's not a guaranteed result after salvation. God demands our cooperation. At any point in time, you are free to turn your back on God and no longer pursue His purposes for you. God gave us freedom of choice. What would our faith be if God forced us to worship Him? We are here because we want to be here. We're in relationship with Jesus because we love Him. And love is a choice, people. It's not something fuzzy or fluffy. When Christ hung on the cross, there were no fuzzy feelings there. That was real love. That was sacrificial love. Agape love. Okay, so tonight I'm going to give you some pointers, which hopefully bless you, and they are universal truths, and it worked in my life. It's not necessarily the full Monty in terms of how God can get you to where you need to go, okay? But I trust that's going to bless you. I'm firstly going to look at a few pointers in how to discover your destiny, how to find out what is your calling. Okay, firstly, make yourself available, availability. And it's something that you've heard from me a number of times in the last while. And it's always true because of the whole cooperation thing. You need to choose God's way. And you first need to be prepared to give up whatever else you're busy with at this time. Are you prepared for that? Are you truly available? You can't say, Lord, I'm available, but only on Monday nights. That's not availability. When God gives His Son's life for you, when He gives His all, there He shows us where the benchmark is in terms of availability. It's all or nothing. Jesus didn't give His whole life for half of you. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He doesn't do half measures. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not like that will be super brilliant. Paul's not writing to the people, you know, if you just give your whole life to God, you know, then you are the most awesome person ever. No, that is reasonable. Why? Because our King died for us. Who are we to withhold anything? He's our King. And what I'm preaching to you tonight is good news. Because only in giving the Lord everything will you find complete fulfillment in this life. And that's all that's going to make you truly happy. You know, happiness is this fuzzy concept. And it comes and it goes. But there's a joy that Christians can know that's everlasting. Through good times and through tough times, it's there. A fulfillment, a satisfaction that no one can rob you of. So this is good news. If you discover your calling and you start walking in it, man, there's nowhere else you want to be. And you'll take every challenge in your stride because you know there ain't nothing going to deter you from this path because there's nothing that can compare with it. It's your reasonable service. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, anyone who desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow Me. Let him deny himself. Give up your ideas of where your life is on its way to. And what you think needs to get done for you to experience fulfillment in this life. Give it up. Lay it at the foot of the cross. And ask God, Lord, what do You want for my life? There has to be an exchange. You have to start by throwing out your own desires and ambitions. You have to search your motivations for doing certain things in this life. You have to look at every aspect of your life and see, you know, how am I following the Lord in this area of my life? You know, or am I withholding certain facets of my life and not allowing the Lord in the door there? You know, when the Lord speaks in Revelations 3 of Him standing at the door knocking and letting Him in, you know, and we often kind of take that analogy and say, you know, let Jesus into the door of your heart and so on. He's talking to Christians there. He's speaking to the church and saying that we are excluding Him from areas in our life. If we're going to be serious about God like He is about us, and believe me, He's serious. If He gave His Son for you, He's serious. And He didn't give His Son just for the person next to you tonight. He gave His Son for you. Then we need to be prepared to exchange whatever. You know, and you guys are going to laugh. How I saw myself shortly before the Lord revealed Himself to me was this guy in this convertible BMW, Ray-Bans, ponytail, girls in the back seat. That's how I saw myself. Praise God, He saved me. Okay. I think my mother would have had a heart attack if I ever pitched up like that at the house. Okay, you got to exchange your idea of, you know, the image of how you see yourself and realize, man, when the world looks at me, they better see more of Jesus than me. You know, I gave up my ideals of, you know, climbing the corporate ladder and everything. I laid all at the foot of the cross. I said, Lord, what do you want for me? He might test you like Abraham and Isaac. That thing that you treasure the dearest in your life, sacrifice that. But like with Abraham, if you're obedient to that and truly willing to sacrifice what you've got going for you at the moment, you're truly willing, the Lord might very well take you back to that thing and say, no, but I do want you to continue in this area, in this business, in this field, and I want you to be a shining light for me in the marketplace. I want you to reach those and those clients of yours. I've got a purpose, a special destiny for them, and I want you to share the gospel with them at the appointed time. You know, the Lord's got a plan for you. But firstly, you've got to be like Abraham with a knife, the dagger raised, ready to sacrifice that which is dearest to you, because the Lord is more important. And His plan is bigger than our plan for our lives. And you can become part of the biggest plan in the universe by buying into God's vision. You've got a specific part in that vision. And we mustn't fall into that trap. Wow, now the Lord's on my side. I never knew this kind of power and fulfillment and liberty to go for anything and fearlessness. And, you know, I know God can do anything. And now He's my partner. And now He can help me fulfill what I need done. You know, I wanted more than, you know, if you asked me 10 years ago, I would have, more than anything, I would have wanted to become a Springbok rugby player. You know, that was like, that would have been the height of my ambition in life. It was very impossible for me at that stage. But now, with the God's love in my life and that fearlessness that I experienced in knowing God, I really thought, now, this is possible. You know, the Lord can help me. I can train harder than ever before. You know, I'm willing to go through any pain because the Lord can somehow use my platform as an international rugby player to reach the kids and stuff, you know, and tell them about Jesus. I was wanting to manipulate God for my purposes. It's very easy to do that. Now that I was talking to God about that for about 5 minutes, and then he said, "Stopibus, that is not what I want from you." And it's so easy to fall into that trap. What can God do for me? No, we must ask, what can we do for God? Then we've got the right age. Then God can start talking to us. He needs us to slow down, sit down, and start listening to what He has to say. Okay, second point in discovering your destiny is to pray. Guess what? You need to talk to God. And praying is two-way communication. You need to listen as well very clearly and very carefully. I recommend fasting as well. If you want to hear God's voice clearly, no better way to cut off the noise and the clutter in our life than by fasting. And if you're not praying while you're fasting, you're just starving yourself. Okay? So I recommend you do it over a weekend when you don't have to just do work the whole time, so that you can actually spend a lot of that time praying. I recommend that you even get out the house. Go somewhere in nature where someone's not going to phone you. You know, switch off that phone, where you're not going to hear the noise of traffic or whatever. Just isolate yourself for that limited time in order to hear God's voice clearly. And at every juncture, big decision that I've had to make since coming to know the Lord, I've spent time in nature fasting and praying, and God has been able to speak to me clearly where I can hear His voice. And you know, it's something actually that I did just after getting saved that Sunday night. The next 3 days I didn't eat. I didn't have a Bible with me. I didn't know about fasting. No one that I hadn't ever met anyone in my life that fasted before. But somehow the Lord just wanted my full attention, and I was giving it to Him. And I spent that time just repenting and everything, but I was listening carefully to what God had to say to me. And that was just like one, just something that kind of happened sort of in a very natural way, but it's so powerful. Fasting has power in it. Don't deny it. I don't want to get into fasting too much now, but Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13, you know the scripture. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. The Lord knows the plan that he has for you, and it's a good plan. He doesn't have a plan to destroy any of us. He created us so that we can experience his love. He created us in his image. That's why Satan hates us so much. We remind him of God. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. People, if you want to know the most important answer after you come to know Christ, you want to get that answer from God, you better make time to pray and speak to him about it. You better search for him with all your heart. That's how important it is. The Lord's not going to give you something so precious like revealing your destiny to you, the path that he would have you walk, just kind of by the wayside, just as you're kind of walking out the house or whatever, whatever. Yeah, he can drop seeds and things at any time, but he wants you to take it seriously. If you've got nothing serious in you regarding your calling and your destiny, you know, how can God trust you with something so precious? Something that's way above and beyond your ability to accomplish. If your calling isn't impossible to you, then that's not from God. Because then you don't need God to help you with it. And guess what? God's the one establishing his kingdom. He just wants to use us as his vessels. He wants to reveal his power through us. He wants the glory for it. If it was something we can do in our own strength, then we can take the glory for it. Is it not so? Your calling is massive. It's important. God wants you to take it seriously. Spend some time praying about it. Paul, he received his calling shortly after conversion when he went into Damascus and went to see Ananias. And the Lord said to him, you'll be my witness to all peoples, you know, to the Gentiles and to, as you read that in Acts 22, I'm going to just mention him just now again, how it worked in Paul's life. But the third point, the final point of discovering your destiny, I'm trying to go quickly tonight, is to write it down. Now, I've harped on about this a few times in the last year. And people, you must excuse me if I repeat myself. They say for most people, if they haven't heard it a number of times, it's not going to sink in. So this is very normal what I'm doing by repeating myself. Okay, write it down. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 to 3. You guys know the scripture. And this scripture I hold very dear. He says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak, it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Okay, it's so important, and it ties in within again with the value that we place on the things of God. The things of God are only as powerful as what they are precious to you. If someone says something that is cardinal to where you're on your way to, or an answer that you are seeking so desperately, something that you really want and treasure, you're most likely going to write it down. You're going to take some notes of it. You're going to put it in your diary, stick it on your wall. You're going to do something with it. You're going to document it. If it wasn't for the people of God and the disciples of Christ that documented every word that he said and his miracles and his wonders and these kind of things, then we wouldn't have it today. If no one thought that it was precious, the words coming out the Lord's mouth, no one would have bothered writing it down, and we wouldn't have the word today. Okay, God would have made a plan, but he's never outwitted. But if you deem something precious, you're going to document it. And you know what's more? It's not just a command, so that you may run if you read it. It's up there as a reminder. You know, it's 6,000 years since the fall, and our brains have deteriorated, okay? We are not as sharp as Adam and Eve were. They didn't write things down. They just remembered it, and they were disobedient, okay? And hence, we've walked in that line, but we need to write things down, because guess what? You most likely forget it. If you write it down, you stick it up, then you're going to run with it. Also, it's so easy for the enemy to come and bring confusion a few days or weeks down the line in terms of something you heard or something you thought you heard. You can't remember it that clearly anymore. And the enemy will just steal it through doubts, to bring in fears and deception and all of that. But if you've written it down when the Lord showed you something, you wrote down a vision, a picture, whatever the Lord showed you, and you've got it there documented, the enemy cannot come and deceive you in that area. You can just go back to that thing and you can show him, no, this is what the Lord said. I remember it crystal clear because I wrote it down when I received the message, and now I can run with that thing. And Satan, you're not going to bring confusion, because that's all the enemy can do, is he can mess with our minds. He's toothless. He's powerless. Regarding the believer who's following Christ. But we must make sure that we don't open the door for him to bring in any deception. You know, and it's always so encouraging for me if I go and read, because I wrote down, I was sitting there with my paper when the Lord was speaking to me. And I was writing down the visions and the ideas and the dreams and stuff that he was now replacing my old ambitions with. I was writing it all down. And it's so amazing to see that from that moment, the Lord started making those things happen. You know, and that today I'm doing a number of things that the Lord showed me back then that would have been completely impossible for me in my own strength. It's not my natural giftings. It's not anything close to what I was working as an accountant. And I'm the furthest thing from an accountant. And the Lord showed me, and I've got it written down. So I can go to the enemy way like a pela. You know, how many of you can do that? Write it down. Remember, we said there, the vision is for an appointed time. Even if it takes some time, wait for it. It will come to pass. When God makes a promise, he keeps a promise. Okay, we need to cooperate, yes. If something doesn't happen, we need to go and look, what was the last thing that God asked me to do? Have I done it? Because he can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. You know, sometimes God shows you that end vision. He shows you where he wants you to be. And then he gives you step 1, 2, and 3 out of the 150 steps to get there. And so you just start walking in these steps. But you know, you're meant to be there, but now you're walking off in this direction and you're wondering, what am I doing here? What does this have to do with where I'm going? You know, Lord, are you sure about this? And we mustn't start questioning God. You know, and we start walking circles and so on, and then you face the next challenge and you figure, okay, but now I'm packing chairs. What does that have to do with like ministering and praying for people and whatever and this and that? And it's very easy if you want to open up your mind to the lies of the enemy. But you better be sure those loops and circles that the Lord has you doing, that time kind of in the desert, if you will, what the Lord is doing is he's preparing your character so that you can handle it when you get to where he needs you to be. Because when he's moving in power through you, it's the easiest thing to become proud. When you see lives changing around you, it's the easiest thing to start taking credit for it. And the Lord cannot share his glory with us at this point in time. He deserves all the glory. You know, Paul, he went to the desert in Arabia before he got separated unto his calling and started operating in his destiny. There was 14 years between his conversion and receiving his calling to when he actually started walking in his calling. And the Lord was preparing him in the desert. The Lord was revealing to him, obviously, a lot in terms of the gospel and his purpose and so on, teaching him and preparing his character. I mean, Paul was going in one direction, persecuting Christians, and the Lord swung his life around. Now he's meant to walk in the polar opposite direction. You better be sure there's something to learn before he can get it right. In his case, you know, and I mean, he is probably the most influential man since Christ. 14 years preparation. The bigger your calling, the longer your preparation. Don't despise your time in the desert. God is preparing you. Don't give up on the vision. They say with vision, your vision gets birthed. God speaks to you, and then it has to die. And then it gets resurrected again. Sound familiar? Now that's often how it works with the things of God. Don't give up. If your vision's in the grave at the moment, you can say, hallelujah, that's one step closer. When is it going to get resurrected? Okay. Uncle Angus always says, first the mountain, then the ministry. So I'm saying to you, get out there, get praying if you want to know your destiny. And take it seriously and do it seriously. And once you have it, just take step by step in obedience to the Lord and don't give up. That thing will come to pass. Stay focused. Keep moving forward. Okay, now the second part. Now we've discovered our destiny. We've made ourselves available. We prayed. The Lord spoke to us. We wrote it down and we're ready to run with it. Now, following your destiny. Walking in your destiny. It's following your destiny, obviously, inherently means following Christ, okay? The first point I'd like to make, just some character attributes to reaching your destiny, being successful in this thing. Firstly, teachability. Everyone say teachable. Teachable, okay. That's a tough one. Today, everyone knows everything. I come from my niks vertelne. Ek het Google. Okay. No, my friend. The internet might have a lot of information. It also has every known lie to mankind documented there. There's just more to filter through. You want to know the absolute truth, go to the Word of God. But we need to remain teachable and never think that we've arrived or that we know everything or no one can teach us anything. Then we are deceived. Then we are deceived. Our attitude must be like the psalmist there in 119. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Now, there's one chap in the shofar there in France, who Gerrit. He's also he's the camp supervisor there at Eagle's Nest, shofar's campsite there in France. And now he has this funny thing. When it comes to me, he says, now I look like Jean-Claude Van Damme to him, okay? My wife doesn't like that very much, okay? She's not a big Van Damme fan. At one point, I used to be a Van Damme fan, okay? But it's so funny, in all these movies, these kung fu movies and so on, you always have the student and the master, and the student like, teach me! Okay, so maybe this will help you remember it. Teach me your statutes, okay? So remember that from Van Damme to you, this is free. Okay. Guys, we must remember as well, remain teachable. It's a team effort. From start to finish, the Lord showed me clearly, I'm not alone. You know, when He saved me, I was alone there in my room. And I didn't know any other believers. And for a second there, I was wondering, now, am I the only one that knows you like this, Lord? Because I cannot keep my mouth shut. I just want to go and tell everyone. And no one told me. So, you know, maybe there's no one out there, you know. And the Lord quickly showed me, no, there actually is an army out there. And I'm joining the ranks now. So praise God. And He showed me from start to finish, this is never going to be you on your own lone ranger for Jesus. It's a team effort. There, concerning your specific calling, there is someone out there who's walked at least part of the way. If not most of the way, maybe some people all the way, except for now a few people or whatever that you're going to reach that are different or whatever. But you got to look these people up and learn from them. That's what you do with your normal careers. And, you know, that's what we do in school. We get people that know the business to show us how it's done. And the idea is that we can go even further. That my ceiling is your floor. I personally am here to equip you for the work of the ministry. I'm not meant to be the only minister here. My ceiling is meant to be your floor. You're meant to go out there and change the world. We're not pew warmers over here. So we need to find the people. You find out what your destiny is, and you look up those people. If the Lord shows you, you need to be an evangelist throughout Africa. Guess who you're going to go to? Reinhard Bonker. You can schedule a meeting with him. CFAN's office is around the corner here in Bloubergweg. Okay? We can make it happen. Come and share your destiny, your vision with me, and I want to see how I can make that happen for you. What I can do to help you along your way, who I can connect you with, but you're not on your own, and you don't have to be. It's too important for us to, because of human error and all of that, to sit with it by ourselves. And the Lord wants family. And we took big strides towards that last year in becoming a family, and this year we're going to just build on that. And guess what family does? We stand by each other and we help each other. We learn from each other. Okay. We get directed also towards our callings by God's word. Again, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, that's how the Lord works with us. He will show you the big picture, where you're on your way to, like the light to your path, but then he'll also give you a little lamp which just shines around you, and you'll see where must I put my next step. So you'll know maybe the next three steps ahead, but then there's, you know, from D to Y, you're not going to know what the Lord, the steps that he wants, because he wants to keep you close to him, in relationship with him, dependent on him. If he showed you A to Z right from the beginning, you'd say, thank you, Lord, for the assignment. I'll get back to you once it's done. Where's the relationship with God? He wants to keep us in relationship. A lamp unto my feet. So you need to stay close to the Lord, and you need to stay in the Word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. You know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Remember the other Scripture we read? The good works that God prepared for us beforehand, that we should walk in them. You need to be equipped to be able to walk in those good works. You get equipped through the Word. We need to stay in the Word. So we saw your prayer and the Word, again, very important. If we're not doing those things, we're not moving any closer to where God wants us to be. That is how we communicate. That's our relationship with God is based on prayer and the Word. We need to get back into that. You know what? A disciple, we are disciples of Christ, and Christ calls us to make disciples. A disciple is a disciplined one. We need to discipline ourselves in prayer and the Word of God. Otherwise, we're not going to get there. And some of us might just feel, but I'm not that kind of a guy. I'm more like a surfer guy and whatever, you know. When I feel like it, when the waves are up, then I'll go out, you know. When the Lord inspires me, then I'll go and read a few verses or something. That's not like that. The Lord has placed it in each of us to desire Him and to desire a relationship with Him, to desire significance, to be part of something bigger than ourselves. You know it. You've got it. You want to be significant in this life. You want to make a difference. You want to be remembered for the right reasons. What do you want written on your gravestone one day? You know, we need to get back into the Word, back into prayer in a big way, because that's how we connect with God. So each of us, no matter how fuzzy thinking we can be from time to time, we have been created to be able to be disciplined ones. And sometimes we just need to ask God for help with that. Help me with practical stuff like time management, Lord. Show me my priorities and, you know, where I can change a few things. My heart is to see us changing in this church. If you guys aren't changing, I'm not preaching the real Jesus. We need to change, and if we're going to change, we need to change things in our daily lives. Some of us need to go and change our schedules. We need to move stuff around. What do they say? Don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. You find out what's important in your life for you to fulfill God's mandate. And you make sure that's in your diary. And you give it a time slot. Because guess what? Satan would love to keep you busy with other stuff. stuff which may seem important and may be super important to the guy next to you. But that's not what God has asked you to do. And so you make sure that God gets first choice, and then you work the other stuff in around it. And to all the people telling you, oh, it must be done right now, it must be done right now, don't tell them I said this, but everything can wait till tomorrow. Except your relationship with God. You cannot put it off. Psalm 92, verse 13. You know my all-time favorite scripture. Be planted in the house of the Lord so that you'll flourish in the courts of our God. Flourishing in the courts of our God, speaking of doing well come judgment day. Come your rewards for doing what God has asked you to do. You want to give yourself the naughty badge, the best chance of doing well at judgment day, you be planted in the house of the Lord. Slotted into a local church. As I said, God works through family. He wants us to work together because you can accomplish more with a team than a bunch of individuals. Everyone doing their own thing. If you've got a team following the same vision, ain't nothing going to stop that. Remember when they were in unity, the Tower of Babel got built. No one could stop that. If we all just doing our own little thing for Jesus and so on, I'm not trying to belittle it or in any way, but that's not what God wants. There are no secret agents for the Lord. We work together. So that's why it's important, imperative, that we find a church where we, in agreement with the statement of faith and with the vision of that church, where that church is on its way to. And maybe for some of you sitting here, maybe this is not your church. And I can only move forward if we're on the same page in terms of where we are going. So one would rather move forward with 20 people that are on the same page, like an army, and you can conquer stuff because you're working together, than if you had 100 people but everyone wants to do something else. Do you agree? This is very important, to be planted in the house of the Lord. That is a safety net for you and your faith. That is your safety net, your fire insurance, that you will, not fire insurance, that's taking a bit far. That is your insurance that you're going to get your rewards that God has stored up for you. And we don't do it for the rewards, but a soldier wants to please the one who enlisted him. We had that scripture last week, remember? Okay, so we can't operate alone because also it's dangerous. When you're on your own, you're a sitting duck for the enemy. You don't have to watch National Geographic to know that, okay? The lions, the cheetahs, they go after the ones straggling at the back, the ones that are a bit isolated, the one who wants to drink the extra 5 sips of water while the others have gone off already. And then it's tickets, overs cadovers. All right. So you want to be, there's safety in the church. Because you've got brothers looking out for you. When you start falling into temptation and straying off your path, if your brother next to you loves you, he might even give you a little slap upside the head and say, what are you doing? You're not meant to be messing around with us. You're going to hurt yourself. And then you're going to start hurting other people around you. Please, kom reg. How can I help you? All of that obviously done in love. All right? That is the safety that's in the church. If you're out there on your own, you got no one to tell you that you're straying off the path and you're starting to preach a different gospel and you're compromising in this way and that. We need accountability. I'm also accountable. We're part of a bigger group of shofar churches. We've got a regional pastor and we got this. There's accountability from top to bottom. And so there's safety in the church. Also, when you're in a church, as I said, it's a safe place also where you can receive from your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a place where we can practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a safe environment. Prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Because we're in relationship, we know each other, and we can come back the next week and say, look, that word that I brought you, the Lord showed me that I was a bit off, and it's actually for John and not for you. Okay, you know, you're in a safe place, but you're out there on your own and you get a word from someone and you go off again, you never see that person again. You don't know if that was from God or whatever necessarily. All I'm saying is more risky when you're out there on your own. It's so amazing how the Lord also just used prophecy in my life when I was being equipped for the good works and so on. And I just found places to serve as the Lord led me on mission trips. We went off to Malawi, and Pastor Henry over there, Pastor Henry prophesied over me that I'm a Timothy. And then he also always, you know, long before I started full-time, he also always called me Pastor T. And I had to tell him, you know, every time, you know, I'm not a pastor and so on. And, you know, and I mean, we don't do the titles thing anyway, but he was prophesying it over my life, okay? This is where you fit in terms of the fivefold ministry. He was speaking life into, he was propelling me towards my destiny. That's powerful. He's in relationship with the Shofar Church and so on. It's a safe place to receive prophecy. Because the Bible says, prophecy is good, don't despise it, but make sure you test it. Don't receive anything that anyone, you know, just out of hand, that anyone speaks over your life. You make sure, firstly, you test it to the Word of God. You know, if someone tells you, you know, the Lord showed me, you must go and find Osama bin Laden and then cut off his head. That is not from God, because long time ago God told us, no, it's not right to murder. Okay? So that is not from God. So you don't receive something like that. You test it to the Word firstly, and you see, this is off. And remember also, you got the Spirit of God and you can discern as well. And because you're in a church, you know the church leadership and this and that. And come share with us the things that God is doing in your life. And the things that God is speaking to you and that people are prophesying over you. And we can, you know, we can help pray with you about it. And the Lord has made us family. Family speak. Families don't hold secrets. Families help each other achieve their potential. Okay. Second pointer out of, it's just this one and one more to go. Hang in there. Faithfulness. Matthew 25, we all want this said over us. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Again, we mustn't despise the day of small beginnings. God will always start us off doing something that will seem to you, excuse me, less significant. But he's going to test you to see if you're faithful in that, if you're doing it, if you're obedient to what he's asked you to do. Being obedient means you do it exactly like he asked you to do and exactly when he asked you to do it. Normally it's immediately, but you know, I'll leave that open to you to find out from the Lord what he meant there. So he wants us to see if we're faithful with that, and then he'll entrust us with more. That's how he works. So in the kingdom of God, everyone starts at the bottom. And that's a good place to start. Because it's easier at the bottom, okay? God doesn't, you know, sometimes, even though you, kind of the different levels that you go through, I mean to use that word there, but the different phases that you go through in your walk with the Lord, each phase kind of feels like you're getting thrown into the deep end, but if you look back, it's not really the deep end. But if you got thrown in there at phase 5 instead of phase 1, you would have been in the deep end, okay? Because you weren't ready yet. So God uses the kind of seemingly less significant things, although everything is of equal importance in the kingdom. If phase 1 doesn't get done, phase 5 ain't going to happen. Phase 5. Okay. Okay, you guys get my drift. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. So persevere. Right. Maybe one more thing that I can say there, and this might now slightly contradict something that I just said, but not really, because I said we can discern by our spirit as well. But I was busy being equipped. I was busy serving in a very different capacity in a community project of the church for a year. And kind of halfway through that year, I was really wondering, how is my work here helping the kingdom? I didn't have a very significant role at the project. And also wondering, you know, how is this preparing me for what I know the Lord wants me to do? So, you know, I dwelt on that for a few days and kind of got a little bit despondent. And then I went to a concert of Jars of Clay. Some of you might know the band. And I was there waiting there in the Goodwood Center at his people for the concert to start. And someone just tapped me on the shoulder and said to me, they feel they have a word for me, you know, and I must just test and see if that's of the Lord. And they just said, they feel that the Lord wants to tell me that he's pleased with what I'm doing. And that was all I needed. I received that at a time when I was a little bit low, exactly wondering that, you know, whether what I'm doing is somehow pleasing unto God, if it's building the kingdom in some way. And there the Lord tells me, but he's pleased with what I'm doing. You got to know the weight that gets lifted off your shoulders when something like that happens. You know, again, that is, it's just amazing when the Lord speaks to you in that way. But tying in with that thing of don't despise the day of small beginnings. You know, the Lord, he is with you every step of the way. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope of the vision. That's why it's so important to write it down, because if you hadn't written it down, you'd probably think you're on your way somewhere else. Then finally, I want to say another character trait that is necessary for you to reach your destiny, to reach the finish line, is obviously endurance. Psalm 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We are all the righteous, yeah, by Christ Jesus. And the word is clear, and we see it throughout the New Testament as well. And we see it written that as Christ suffered, so will we. And it's a word that we don't often want to hear. But you will have trouble in your life. You will have adversity. You will have challenges, difficulty. Don't give up. Endure. Like my old cycling coach used to say many moons ago, "Gama deur al is het seer." Okay? Come and take your turn at the front. It's tough, but you've got to do it. It's a team effort here. The rest of the church is relying on you to finish the race as well. We are a body made up of different parts. If we lose a leg in the process, it's going to take us a lot longer to get to the finish line. And you might be part of the whole leg thing, so don't give up, okay? We need you. The Lord will deliver you out of all of those. You don't have to look much further than Paul as a disciple of Christ enduring affliction. I mean, he persevered despite lashings, despite imprisonment, being stoned, bitten by a viper, finding out that there were 40 devout Jews who took an oath not to eat or drink until they kill him. I mean, these kind of things upset a guy. These are tough times. He endured until the end. He was only a man. This is not God that we're talking about. He was only a man. I mean, after being stoned to death, the disciples came around. They resurrected him from the dead, and he went straight back into the town where he was stoned out of, because he had a job to do. He was following his destiny, and he was not going to let anything stop him. Like Ergun Kainer says, he believes the man of God is indestructible until his destiny is fulfilled. As long as he stays obedient. Indestructible. If you've been obedient and the enemy even kills you, then you've got to believe you're going to get resurrected again. So just sit tight there for a little while. We're coming. Okay? Romans 8 verse 17. We've been destined to become joint heirs of Christ if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified together. So I want to ask you today, are you prepared? Are you going to make yourself available? Are you prepared to suffer for the destiny that God has for you? Are you prepared? You see, the church in the West, and we're not here But we sit in massive auditoriums, in cushy cinema seats. The ushers serving popcorn after the offering. And, you know, I just made that up. But it's kind of a very comfortable faith that we have sometimes. And not often do you hear this thing of this the suffering component. It's not nice to hear. You know, and we need to get back to the word and the truth. The truth is it's tough to follow Christ. He sets a very high standard, something that we cannot attain to in our own strength. And if we stick by it, it's going to be tough, but He will get us there. Don't give up. But please, don't give God half of what He deserves. You've got to make a choice. The church in the West, I'm really generalizing last few times I speak about the church in the West, but I include us as well. You know, we don't count the cost when we say yes to Jesus. Because sometimes we're not preaching the cost. We're saying, you know, give your life to Christ and everything will be okay. And in a sense, yes, that's true. But we forget to say, you know, that also means you're going to have tough times, but God will get you through it. We must count the cost. We must count the cost. We must preach the full gospel. Verse 18, the next verse says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory. It is worth it, even if you lose your life for Christ's sake. It is worth it. To live is Christ and to die is gain. We need to lose our life in order to find it. That is the message of the kingdom. It's all or nothing. Paul writes in Philippians 3 verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the upward prize." I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. Okay? There's resistance. If you have to press towards something, there's something, some force coming against you. You're going to experience resistance. How do they say in the charismatic circles? If there's no giants in your promised land, then that ain't your promised land. Okay? There's going to be a battle. There's no victory without a battle. There's going to be a fight, people. There's resistance. If your calling isn't bigger than what you're able to attain, it's not your calling. If your calling doesn't include massive challenges and tough times, then that's not your calling. Some of us, life's been real easy the last 2 years. And we need to reassess this whole calling thing. And am I still on the path? Maybe I did get my calling and I got it right. But since I've strayed off the path into the comfortable lifestyle, I'm enjoying the popcorn in the pews. That's not what the Lord has called us for. You know what the saddest thing about a graveyard is? If you drive past a graveyard, it's a place where there is the most untapped potential. How many callings and destinies of God aren't lying there in the grave, unfulfilled? You don't want that to be said of your life. You want to live a full life. You want to live a life obedient to the Lord, pleasing the one who enlisted you. Having Him say to you at the end of it, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done, good and faithful servant. "You've been faithful with little, now I'll make you ruler over many things." You see, our whole life is preparing us for an eternity. When you get to eternity, it's not going to be you on a leather couch with a box of popcorn, okay? There's going to be stuff to be done. This is preparation for eternity as well. Okay, some of us didn't know that. But it's exciting times. I'm finishing off now. I never finish off without good news, eh? But I've told you this already. Just like the Lord will help you become more like Him in your purpose, the Lord will help you achieve the specific calling and destiny that He has on your life. Habakkuk 3, verse 19. Habakkuk was a good name, unfortunate. Good man, unfortunate name, isn't it? 3, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. He will help you to ascend that mountain. He will help you to reach the summit that seems impossible. The Lord God will do that. But guess what? Your life is going to change along the way. You'll make my feet like deer's feet. You cannot reach your destiny in the same, being the same that you are right now. When you reach your destiny, you're no longer going to be like you are today. You probably won't even think the same way. Definitely not going to look the same. Okay? But the Lord will help you. Your life's going to change if you say yes to Jesus. If you say, yes, Lord, I'm prepared to give everything up. Remember, the Lord might take you back to that, but don't bargain on that. Make sure you got more or less the picture in order before you do something rash. And speak to the trusted believers in your life before you take a major change of direction. Like I said, don't want anyone just based on what I'm saying now to resign their jobs tomorrow. Please. Okay, you doesn't mind any moeilikheid kry. That's also okay. Just preaching the gospel. We need each other, people, to reach our destiny. But it starts with the individual saying, yes, I'm prepared. I'm prepared to sacrifice. I'm prepared to do whatever it takes. Because I want to be part of God's plan of salvation for the world. Philippians 1 verse 6. Paul says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. The Lord will do it. And guess what? If some of us are here and we say, no thanks, this is not for me. You're not hurting God in any way. If you've got an issue with God or anger towards Him for something, come talk with me. We'll pray about it. You need to get over that. There's no reason to be angry with God. But you're not hurting Him by saying, no, I'm not going to do it. He's going to raise someone else up to do that. If you want to build a house and your builder doesn't show up for a month, you're going to fire that builder and get another one to come finish your house, aren't you? The Lord knows what He's doing. He's got a plan, and His plan will work. You can be part of that, something so much bigger than you. And that's what the invitation is for tonight. So maybe if we can stand together, and maybe Nico, if you can just come play for us. I just want to pray for us tonight and invite you. If you know you haven't come to that place yet where you've said, yes, Lord, here I am, all of me, I'm available. I'm prepared to suffer. I've counted the cost. I know what it's about. But Lord, I don't know exactly where I'm going. I don't know why You created me. And I want to know, Lord, and I want to do it, even if it's tough. And I know You're going to help me. If that's you tonight, then I want you to raise your hand. Just be bold. We're not, no one's shy. We're family. Raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for us here. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. I'm going to pray for us. And I know when you seek God earnestly and with all your heart, you will find Him. He will share with you. He will tell you. He will tell you the next step. And that's all you have to take is the next step. That's all you have to do. And He will be taking your hand and going with you. You don't go alone. The Lord God goes with you. He will help you get there. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I just want to thank You, Lord God, just for sharing something of Your heart with us tonight, Lord, and for just for blessing us with Your presence in this way as well. Thank You that we can know You and that we can experience Your love, Lord. That each of us can know tonight, Lord, that You have created us for a unique purpose, a unique destiny, Lord. We are special, Lord. Just like everyone out there, Lord. But many don't even know You yet. And we know that's part of Your plan is for us to share that love and that message, Lord. But Lord, you ask of us first tonight. Are we ready to go for you? Lord, and we want to say tonight, Lord, that yeah, we are, Lord, and we will go for you. Send us. We are available for you, Lord. Lord, we recognize the cost. But we know also, Lord, that it's nothing compared to what you did for us. Lord, just in like you didn't do it for us because you owed us something, and we're not doing it for you because we owe you, Lord. You did it for us because you love us, and we want to do it for you because we love you. So if you want to pray this with me now, I'm just going to pray a prayer for us, and you can pray after me if that is you. If you want to just basically surrender your life entirely to Christ tonight and just ask Him to reveal your destiny to you and to help you get there. If that is you, you can just pray after me. Yes, Father God, thank you for revealing this truth to me. Lord, until this point, I haven't given my all to you. In many ways, I'm still following my own dreams. But Lord, I want to know why you made me. And I want to live my life in accordance with that. I want to be obedient and faithful to you. I want your will to be done, Lord, and not my own. I want to see your kingdom established in and through my life. And so, Lord, I give you my life now as a living sacrifice. I ask you to take me by the hand. Reveal your will for me. And help me along the way. I will not be afraid, even though it's so much bigger than myself, because you are with me. Thank you, my God. Please forgive me. We have not obeyed you. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that I can trust you, Lord. I want my life to mean something. I want to experience your fulfillment and your joy and your pleasure. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's just give Him an applause tonight. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.